You're listening to Source Daily. Join us Monday through Friday to stay up to date on what's happening in North Central Ohio. We'll be sharing a closer look at one of our top stories, along with other news, local history, memorials, answers to your questions, and more. Richland Source City Editor Carl Hunnell began his journalism career 43 years ago. His new 10-part series features Congressional Medal of Honor recipients from Richland County. The series is supported by Mansfield Cemetery Association. Today, Carl and Richland Source Managing Editor Larry Phillips will dive into the story of First Sergeant James Wiley, who earned his Congressional Medal of Honor at Gettysburg. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at the Richland County Foundation. The Richland County Foundation aims to improve and enhance the quality of life in Richland County through strategic philanthropy and community leadership. Learn more about how they're opening doors to a stronger Richland County by visiting richlandcountyfoundation.org. Now, our feature story.
Hi, this is Larry Phillips. I'm the managing editor at Richland Source. I'm here with Carl Hunnell. He is our city editor and is the author of the 10-part series that we're looking at, the Congressional Medal of Honor winners here in Richland County. His first guy to look at is First Sergeant James Wiley from Belleville. And Sergeant Wiley earned his Congressional Medal of Honor at Gettysburg. And Carl, we talked about this in the office, that there's some controversy on when exactly his valor took place. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, I don't know if it's controversy, but I found differing sources of information. One of the most interesting things about that I found out about First Sergeant Wiley is he served with Company B of the 59th New York Infantry. How did a man from born in Belleville end up fighting for a New York City unit during the Civil War? But the thing I found about that was, a lot of those guys came from the streets of New York. They came from upstate New York. But it also said a prominent group of North Central Ohio residents. I don't know how he made that trip or made that trek, if he had connections, but he did end up with that unit. They fought at Gettysburg. The discrepancy I found is when you look at one website devoted to Medal of Honor winners, it says he earned it on July 3rd, and then he captured the battle flag of the 48th Georgia Infantry Regiment. But when I looked at it deeper, day two was July 2nd. Day two of the three-day Battle of Gettysburg was July 2nd, and that was the day that the New York Infantry squared off and kind of held a line on Cemetery Ridge against Confederate units that included the 48th Georgia.
So are we talking about close to where Chamberlain was on the Little Round Top?
No, Chamberlain was further to the south, up on Little Round Top. Cemetery Ridge was more in the middle.
Okay.
On days two and three. On day three, the 59th New York was part of the unit that repulsed what's been, I think, incorrectly called Pickett's Charge.
What should it be called?
Well, I mean, there were other generals who had troops in that particular line. It was called Pickett's Charge because Pickett's group from Virginia, they had not yet been in that battle. They arrived late, so he had the freshest troops. He had the majority of the troops, so they ended up calling it Pickett's Charge. But there were soldiers, other Confederate regiments represented there as well. But that happened on day three, and there were no Georgia units that participated in Pickett's Charge. So as I research this and look at it, it has to be that Wiley earned that medal on the second day, on July 2nd, when they were attacked by the unit from Georgia.
At Cemetery Ridge.
At Cemetery Ridge. Yeah. The Battle of Gettysburg is important, most important, because it changed the course of this country. Prior to the battle at Gettysburg, for example, the South was on a roll. Lee's army came to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania that day on July 1st, fully confident because they had never really lost.
Had just come off a real big win at Fredericksburg.
Well, Fredericksburg and then at Chancellorsville. I mean, Fredericksburg, they did at Fredericksburg what the Union did at Gettysburg. They held the high ground and they slaughtered Union troops that tried to attack. And then in, I think it was April of that year, excuse me, it was May at Chancellorsville, is when the famous Stonewall Jackson feint around the lines, and they completely almost destroyed the entire Union army in that particular battle. So they came to Gettysburg on a roll.
Now, they lost Stonewall Jackson at Chancellorsville. Is that when
Yes, Stonewall Jackson was actually killed by his own troops,
right?
By accident, a North Carolina unit. That particular battle started later in the day than Jackson had wanted. And he was returning to the lines, or he had gone beyond the lines. It had become dark, and he was returning to his own lines. And some excited North Carolina soldiers didn't know who he was, and they opened fire. And Jackson was mortally wounded and died days after that.
So when they arrive at Gettysburg, then Lee does not have his leading general.
Right. When Stonewall Jackson, the first thing they did to try to save his life is they amputated his left arm. And Lee's comment at that time was, General Jackson has lost his left arm. I've lost my right. So they still enter Gettysburg with just an incredible amount of momentum. The closest the Union troops had come to claiming victory was kind of a push at Antietam earlier than that, which was really one of the bloodiest battles of the war. But when you look at July 2nd of 1863, the 59th New York had a position on the right line at Cemetery Ridge, and they were, their particular sector, they were assaulted by a Confederate Union, a unit led by Brigadier General Ambrose Wright. The Confederates charged across Emmitsburg Road. They came to Cemetery Ridge. The 48th Georgia was on their left flank. They actually captured Fort Cannon because the charge began successfully. But the problem is the Brigade of Georgians was not supported. Their unit was left exposed on the left flank. They suffered heavy casualties. They eventually had to fall back.
And this is what tells us that this is, logic tells us this is probably when Sergeant James Wiley captures the flag.
Exactly. Georgia soldiers carrying the unit's colors were actually shot down seven times. So they were picked up seven times. Wiley, who was a member of Company B, fought throughout that battle and was eventually credited with capturing those colors. And this is one of the things we talked about in the first installment of this. When you look at the citation, all it says is capture of a flag of a Georgia regiment.
So it's pretty generic.
when you sit down, and do research, you got to try to figure out where he was, where it happened. You kind of put yourself in the mindset of a young soldier who's literally trying to hold the line at a battle that if the Union had lost that battle, they may have lost the war.
I was just going to say that, Carl. You mentioned how that was such a watershed moment, and envisioned for a second if they had Stonewall Jackson. We've talked about this in the office many times, how the first day of Gettysburg would have been dramatically different, most likely because of his nature and tactics, his strategy approach. And then also if they had followed General Longstreet's suggestion to Lee, he advised against many of the tactics that were employed, including Pickett's charge. So that battle probably could have gone either way with a number of different items taking place. And the way that it turned out obviously was huge for the Union.
Well, I think, if the Confederates had won that day, I think there might have been a slightly different outcome. But there was absolutely no way that the, agriculture-based Confederacy was ever going to defeat, industrial North. Shelby Foote talked about that.
He said, I think his reference was the Union fought that war with one hand tied behind his back.
Exactly. And I think if the Confederates, for some reason, had carried the day at Gettysburg, they might have won the day, but they were still going to lose the war. There's simply no way for them to match the North in terms of personnel, in terms of equipment, material, logistical transportation, things like that.
All those things are true. I wonder if they had been able to prolong the war. We've talked about this in the office, and this gets a little bit away from James Wiley, but if they had been able to prolong the war where it was still a fairly desperate situation in November of 1864 when the re-election of Lincoln took place, the 1864 election could have become a referendum on the Civil War. And in that instance, I think that's what the South was banking on, was trying to sue for peace and some sort of, who knows how what it would have looked like. But right. It seemed like that was Lee's objective, was a war of attrition. He was hopeful that the North would just simply grow weary
right.
of the conflict.
And you're absolutely right. But when you get back to Wiley, the 59th New York did participate July 3rd. They were very near the angle, the famous angle when Pickett's charge took place. That was a Confederate force of about 12,500 men who marched across open terrain toward heavily defended Union lines. In about an hour of fierce fighting, 6,500 Confederate soldiers were either killed or wounded.
Wow.
And that entire thing fell apart. But when I researched First Sergeant Whiteley a little deeper, he performed heroically there, but his story ends tragically. He was actually captured June 22nd, 1864, during fighting at Jerusalem Plank Road during the Siege of Petersburg. That began in June of 64 and continued until March of 65. He was taken as a prisoner of war to the infamous Andersonville, Georgia prison camp, where he died in captivity on February 7, 1865. I think he died never knowing that he was going to receive the Medal of Honor for his gallantry at the Battle of Gettysburg. Now, there were 45,000 Union soldiers that got imprisoned in Andersonville. Nearly 13,000 of those died. Starvation, illness, disease. Similar thoughts in the Civil War. Most of the soldiers who died in the Civil War died of
disease. Yeah.
I mean, there were certainly horrific battle losses as well. But Wiley was then buried in the Andersonville National Cemetery. But the young man from Belleville, who helped hold the line on consecutive days at the Battle of Gettysburg, Congressional Medal of Honor winner from Richland County, Ohio.
Died in Andersonville. He was at two of the most famous sites and participated in two of the most famous sites at the Civil War. So that was our first Congressional Medal of Honor winner, First Sergeant James Wiley from Belleville. Join us again next time, and we'll take a look at Private John Ricksecker from Mansfield, who was our next Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
Thanks for joining us.
Before we continue, a quick message from our friend and sponsors at the Richland School of Academic Arts. The Richland School of Academic Arts is committed to providing the best academic core curriculum blended with meaningful integration of the visual and performing arts to build educated, confident students to be future community leaders. Enrollment for 2023 to 2024 is now live. To learn more, visit therichlandschoolofacademicarts.us. Next, want to stay up to date on all local sports? Sign up for our sports newsletter today. Just click the link in our show notes to subscribe.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kurt Conrad. I've been the local sports reporter here at Richland Source since 2013 and have been covering high school sports in North Central Ohio since 1996. Subscribe to my weekly sports newsletter for the latest stories and insights from me and the rest of the Richland Source sports team, delivered directly to your email inbox each week. Check the link in the show notes to subscribe or go to richlandsource.com/sports.
Finally, we'd like to take a moment to remember the life of Reverend Diane Baer. Diane was born in 1946 and later was adopted by her loving stepfather, Virgil Tull. Diane was passionate about her faith and ministry of the Lord and would stand unfailingly in her faith. She was an avid seamstress and crafter and participated in multiple craft shows throughout her life. The pleasure and light of her life was spending time with her family. Her grandchildren and great-grandchildren brought her boundless joy. Diane is survived by her daughter, two sons, grandchildren, as well as four great-grandchildren, two sisters, and multiple nieces and nephews. Thank you for taking a moment to celebrate and remember Diane's life. You can submit an obituary for free on Richland Source. To learn more, click the link in our show notes or visit richlandsource.com/obituaries/submit. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow. Also, make sure to head over to richlandsource.com and click the Be a Member button to help support independent local journalism that informs and inspires. Every contribution goes to helping us make Richland County a better place and to help keep our journalism free. Also, if you like this podcast and want to hear more, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.